Let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So it's June, and the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. I won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Taz. He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show.
For the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Alrighty, alrighty. What's up? What's going on? It's me, Taz, and thank you for downloading this edition of the human podcast machine. Gonna rock and roll right here and cover the Bellator MMA 138 on Spike TV this past Saturday night. Gonna get into that in a little bit. Got to take care of some other business, talk about some other stuff that's going on in the world and what happened over the weekend. And hope you guys had a good weekend. And all those dads out there, hope you had a good Father's Day. I had a pretty quiet but chill Father's Day. Did a little work in the pool. And, you know, I got a lot of you guys tweeted me wishing me Happy Father's Day. And I did the mass tweet of Happy Father's Day to all you daddies. So, you know, it's like I was saying to my wife, I think Father's Day should almost be like a half day. Because it's really not about the dads. It's always about the moms and the kids. So it's like, it's not. What is Father's Day? Father's Day should be from like 8 a.m. to noon. And then you could just do the rest as the regular day for the kids. It's always about the kids. Or mom or whatever. Or any significant other female or male, whatever you do in your life. You know, it's not about me. I can tell you that. It ended about me around 12 noon. So I had a half of Father's Day. And the rest was I was doing some business in the pool. Well, working on the pool. I don't mean like that. I had to work on the pool a little bit. And Seth, how was your Father's Day, sir?
It was good. You know, I took my dad out for brunch, you know.
Oh, nice.
His family and my son was there. You get the whole, you know, the whole generation thing going on.
That's awesome. I miss my dad. My dad passed several years ago. So
sorry to hear that.
That's, yeah, but, you know, so it was, you know, but, you know, I'm happy to hear that when someone like you gets together with your old man and do that. That's pretty cool. That's good. Does your dad still like you?
No, he likes my son. He doesn't like
well,
me.
See, that's the gimmick. Yeah. That's the deal. Yeah. Yeah, so it was, but some interesting things to segue here, an uncomfortable segue. Some interesting things that happened, some stuff in the world of pro wrestling. You know, Gunnar left TNA, right? And then I heard Samuel Shaw, too, I believe, right? I mean, they're not with the I know Gunnar. I'm
you know, back from when you were there, you know, you'd like these guys, and they brought energy, and they had bright futures, and maybe they still do, but it's just, I scratch my head with TNA with some of the decisions they make.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, man. I do. I gotta tell you, you never know what happens, though, behind the scenes. That's the little snafu. You never know what happens, meaning it could have been either or both of these men wanted out of the company. Frustrations with payoffs or whatever they're working or not working, or push or lack thereof. I could tell you both these guys, there was a lot of when I was there, desires to get them over and push them. Gunner for sure, Sam Shaw too, with the stuff when he was obsessed with Christy Hemme, that whole character. And I thought Sam Shaw made the best of a weird gimmick, the creepy bastard gimmick he was doing. And I cannot begin to tell you. Both of these young men are so professional behind the scenes, trained the proper way. I mean, just brought up in the business the right way. I mean, Gunnar is far from a rookie. Sam Shaw broke in under Bubba and Devon at the 3D Wrestling Academy in Orlando, so you know he came up right. Both these guys, true professionals. You never had to worry about them showing up to work stoned or drunk or nothing like that. real pros, always in great shape, dedicated to their craft, you know. And I just, I don't understand, man. It just, you got to keep guys like this around somehow, some way. I don't know if it's a financial thing or whatever the hell it is with TNA. You got to. These guys are money. Both these guys are talented. And I hope a WWE picks them up or one of the other companies, but I'd love to see them in an NXT or something like that. Gunnar was deemed forever, you know, Mr. Intensity. I think Mike Tenay was the first one who deemed him that when we were doing the announcing there for all those years. And I'm telling you, Seth, I could not tell you two guys that were better to work with than both these guys. Super guys.
I guess something that, it's like a throwback to old wrestling times, going from territory to territory. And like you say, there's always places to go now.
True.
There are places to go. You know, some True. Guys say there aren't. Crimson came back. So it's almost like you lose a couple, you bring a guy back who had a big push.
Good point, yes.
At TNA back in the day, the undefeated streak, I believe.
Correct, the Mundo. And I will tell you about, you said a moment ago about other places and a territory, I mean, other places for guys to work now. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know if I'm using this cliche expression the right way, the glass ceiling. I think Samoa Joe broke that glass ceiling of a wrestler or sports entertainer that is not homegrown by WWE or that was homegrown by TNA, even though Samoa Joe was not homegrown by TNA. Samoa Joe had a career before TNA and a successful one at that. But he was in TNA for so long, so he was looked at, I would guess, to some at that time as a TNA guy, in quotations. And you never really saw TNA guys end up in the WWE as in recent. And we'd see guys that maybe had a history, hypothetically, Jeff Hardy. So let's say Jeff Hardy would leave TNA or be gone or whatever, it wouldn't shock folks to see him back in the WWE because he was made and had all the success in the WWE, and he's still known as a WWE superstar, but for so many years, he and his brother Matt had such success in WWE.
Well, Christian, he did it.
Exactly.
TNA went back.
Thank you. Great point. And that's even a better point. You're right. And where he went back, where some cats that never were in WWE and spent time in TNA left TNA, and you never see him in WWE.
I know you like to bust on me like I'm a WWE guy. Like my
only when Tenay's here on the show. But otherwise, I like you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sometimes.
So, you know, to WWE fans, Samoa Joe's like, oh, maybe they know him, but maybe they don't. Like, he's a new guy. But yeah, as you know, he broke in the business with Cena. They trained together and broke in the business together. So
I agree. Yes, you're correct. The thing is, what I'm saying about the ceiling being broken, the glass being, is that the right expression? You don't know.
No, I know your point. Yeah, there's no glass ceiling. Like, you can go further. Like, you can go beyond TNA or beyond Ring of Honor.
He broke the glass ceiling.
Yeah, he put on the glass slipper.
If you live in, like, a greenhouse and you're, like, an arborvitae, a plant, then maybe you have glass ceiling. Who the hell has glass ceilings in their house?
Don't throw stones
at glass ceilings, and windows will break. But I digress. So there is your architectural landscaping advice from me, Taz. So, yeah, I think Joe really kind of broke that, man. I think that if you're a wrestler in a TNA or even a Ring of Honor and you see the success, well, Ring of Honor maybe is a bad example because so many guys have success out of Ring of Honor in the WWE. But Samoa Joe's a little different situation here, so you never know. Some TNA wrestlers could be looking at it like, it's working for Joe. Maybe NXT, WWE would take me on. Could you imagine? I mean, some of these bigger name guys in TNA, if they're out, like a Samoa Joe was, you never know, dude.
And WWE can just, you know, put a flyer on a guy and see how the reaction is to him if he's over with the fans.
Of course.
Right?
Of course. And look, again, kudos to the WWE. They've taken Samoa Joe and absolutely have done nothing different with him, which is great.
Now, I read that, you know, he had an interesting kind of deal, right, where he's still finishing some dates and things like that.
He just finished up Ring of Honor, I believe. Yeah.
And then I don't know if this is true or not, but it said that based on his sales of his merchandise and everything, they were really impressed, and like the Vince said, I want him full time, make it a done deal.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember when I first came in, my merchandise sales were like number two at that time, like blew through the roof when I debuted at the Garden, and I was under a full time deal. And I got de-pushed because my merch was selling good. And
stop trying to hurt people.
And I was doing suplexes, which now we know no one does dangerous suplexes in WWE. Nobody. Oh, gosh.
Everybody.
No one. Yeah, exactly.
things have changed, and I think that's good. It's good for the you know, evolution of the business.
You get the good bridge though on the toes, man. Well, I love that picture.
Thank you. And it's that was a lot of work that went into getting my body to train, you know, be that way. Don't let me go into the old suplex thing, please. I get crazy. But
check the archives. Check the archives. So, Suplex City.
No. So what I was saying is by Joe, I think it's interesting that Samoa Joe has taken, has given maybe an opportunity inadvertently to other bigger name guys that are looked at as TNA guys. I could be wrong on this, but I think there's a good chance that maybe sooner rather than later you're going to see some other cats leave TNA, big name guys. And maybe I've had a bird or two in my ear without saying names that might be out of there with hopes or, you know, aspirations of being in the WWE.
How long is Angle's deal? Do you know?
I have no clue. If I did, I wouldn't tell you.
All right, I appreciate that.
But I don't know. I'm not going to share a guy's personal business.
No, but that's usually common knowledge, no?
Is that not really. No? It's not like pro football or pro baseball players or, you know, basketball players. It's a little bit different. It's people assume how long the deals are.
Okay.
No one's doing a press conference talking about it. People always assume how long is this guy's deal. Usually somebody stooges it off to one of the internet reporters, and that's how it gets out. And a lot of times that's not true, as we know.
Because I think with Brock Lesnar and Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle fits real nice in that, you know?
Yeah, I would say for sure. You know, it's not just Kurt. I mean, there are other guys that are younger than Kurt. That their body's not as banged up as Kurt. No knock on Kurt, but I'm just saying there are other guys too that, you know, that I think you could see end up in WWE. I think that can happen. And you never know. Someone like Gunnar, someone like Samuel Shaw. I mean, I for sure it would, the way his style of intensity. That was always a big thing. I know when I worked there with all the talent with Vince McMahon. Huge into the intensity of the work style, you know, especially for certain characters. So I could see that.
There's no one that looks like him in WWE right now either.
No. There is no one. And, you know, for a while he was pushing that Gunnar was the modern-day Viking. You know, he was a Viking. And that wasn't the company. That was him. That was Gunnar's idea, which I thought was cool. It was different, you know. And then all of a sudden, they would tell me and Mike today, don't push him as a Viking. No, don't say that no more. Okay, whatever. You know, what do you think? I'm not going to argue. These guys are under contract to you. I mean, you know, that made no sense to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because Bram came in. He looks more like a Viking almost.
Well, but Bram's another guy who I think that if you look at Bram, Gunnar, those type guys with that intensity. Now, Bram was in the WWE in their system. And
things, I didn't know that.
Yeah, things fell through, and well, that's why I'm the expert.
Of course.
See what I'm saying?
I learn every day.
This is why I'm the expert.
EC3 too, right? He was in there too.
He was. Yes. Yep. Yes, he was. I don't know. I think that I think Samoa Joe did I think he could be possibly bridging that gap.
I hope so.
And breaking ceilings.
It's only good for us fans, that's all.
He's breaking glass. He's bridging gaps. Samoa Joe's just, he's like a full-time construction worker, this guy. He's unbelievable. He's doing all sorts of stuff. Breaking windows and glass.
Unlike me, he can task.
Yes. I'll tell you what also, speaking of you, the Fantasy Draft Edition with you, myself, and Mike today. Ooh, we got some heat for this last one. A Twitter heat.
I don't seem to seem to like it, though. You guys suck, but I laughed.
I know. It was entertaining. It was very...
That's what it's all about at the end of the day.
I agree. One fan said it was disjointed, and it's true. And now, again, I take the heat. It was my fault because I didn't communicate with Mike and yourself what craziest gimmicks were. You know, in my crazy brain, I think that you guys know exactly what I'm thinking of without me communicating with you.
No, instead we got transgender Mexicans.
Yeah. Mike Tenay was pulling out guys. I could not. I didn't know these guys were.
Australia, Mexican women who were dressed like men and all kinds of stuff.
28-6, Argento, San Diego, AT. What the hell? So a lot of people were. So a lot of you folks out there that have downloaded this episode that listen to right now, listen, I apologize. Don't blame Mike. Don't blame Seth. It was myself.
You know, the professor can make up stuff and nobody would know.
No, he's the best. No,
he could just come up with some of his own stuff and talk about it from the 40s and nobody would know the difference.
Brother, he's smooth from the 40s.
When he started watching.
It's the thing is too, like, people on Twitter, most of them were not angry. They were laughing about it. It was screwy. And I tweeted to someone. I said, listen, we usually, with these fantasy drafts, I humbly say we normally hit a home run every time. I mean, I think they're always done right. They're informative. They're entertaining. They're funny. And they're opinionated. But you can't always hit a home run. I mean, every once in a while, you hit a triple. This might have been a bunt single. So
hey, we could have scrapped it, but we didn't.
Yeah, we could have scrapped it.
Say, hey, this is our show. This is what we did.
I promise the next one will be good. I mean, so it will. And with the next one, we're doing what? What are we doing? Strongman. Yeah. Yeah, top strongman, fantasy draft edition. We're going to drop that in July, right?
Yes, sir.
Drop that in July. We're on the cusp of July here. So I hope the beginnings of the summer is going well for you folks.
And we like when they send us the ideas, too. So keep sending your fantasy draft ideas.
Yeah, but plug the email, bro. Let them just email instead of... I can't keep up with the Twitter stuff.
HPMTaz@CBS.com.
There you go. Write that down.
HPMTaz@CBS.com.
I can hear people writing as I speak. And also, stay tight right here. We're going to get into the Bellator MMA 138. Thoughts and opinions on that deal. So we'll do that in a sec after, on the other side of the break. So I got to say, I feel that the fantasy draft, I'm going to make amends right here with the wrestling community and my fan base that likes this show. I will never mess up like that again. I will never. I'm still mad. Seth, you know I'm a perfectionist. Please, you know how I am.
It worked, though. It was a beautiful mistake.
I know, but I'm still mad. I really am. I'm mad at myself. And some fan said yesterday, something, be better next time. I said,
I saw that. You
and I said something like,
ass.
Be better. No. What did he say? Not be better. Try harder. No, what did he say?
He said something like, he said
yeah,
be
and
better.
I
You're
said,
right.
La, la, la.
He didn't mean it that way, though.
Kiss my ass. Yeah. But then the guy, I misunderstood the guy because things got lost in translation via. Because
you're very angry.
Twitter. No, it's tough when you.
No problem. I take back when I told you kiss my ass. You said. He apologized.
He did. Well, because he
said, next time be better. He said, I didn't mean be better. I meant me be better.
Meaning himself. Yeah, which is, it's hard to understand when you're reading it in an email or a text message or a tweet. So that's why I got very defensive because I try my best to be great all the time with the way we produce the show. Seth puts in tons of time. People that work under Seth here put a lot of time into the production of our show.
We're going to fix your levels. Hold on a second.
Yeah, people are giving audio advice here.
There's such a thing called audio. These guys are audiophiles.
It's unbelievable.
It's like the 1%. We're programming for the 99% that just want the content, not the 1% that we hear dog whistles and stuff. Yeah, not programming to you guys.
It's like I never realized once I started doing these shows that my fan base would be like 100% audio technicians.
Oh,
these guys
God.
Are like all expert audio guys.
What Andy here, he's like that.
Well, he's the real deal, though. Yes. The guy Andy, yeah.
I hear the flux capacitor in there. It's like, there's no flux capacitor. Relax, buddy. Nobody else cares except you.
The Dynaflow was a little rusty, and I could hear it. Okay, so
it's a little tinny, though. There's no more. There's leans a little more bass.
Exactly. So, you know, people are getting a little not a lot, though. The masses.
Nah, it's all good.
They're loving it. And, you know,
from a good place, too.
In the early portion of the fall, Seth, you know, I got some pretty funky stuff going on here with CBS. I can't tease too much right now.
I'm going to kayfabe it.
Oh, inside turf.
I am, like, in the business now.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You, as a fan, do you think that the fans of what I do and we do here and HPM and all that, you think they're going to be happy?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
A double whammy, let's put it that way.
They know what's coming.
They might.
A little bit, some. They know a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I think
we're going to swerve.
We're going to swerve a little bit.
We're going to swerve.
Gonna let JR know. We're going to swerve a little bit. So, but anyway. So, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We will talk about the Bellator MMA 138. I'm going to give you my thoughts and opinions on several of the bouts. Talk about my man Lashley. Talk about Shamrock, Kimbo Slice, Patricio Pitbull. Talk about all those cats. We'll be right back. All right, look, we'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. I got to smack a few people around over here on the 44th floor at CBS. So I'll be right back. Check this out. New sponsor, Score Big. You save on every ticket every day. Yeah, and that basically, you go on there and you can check on any events, any games, anything you want, any type of seats you want. You get seats and spots at events or games that you never think you could afford, and you kind of bid on the thing. It's pretty cool. I mean, you name a ticket price, you save up to 60% off
off that box office price. And the average customer basically saves 40% off the box office price. You could save up to 60%, though. Real simple the way it works, too. You just find a game or a show you want to go to. You pick your seating area. You name the ticket price, and you get your answer. I've done this. I put in a Yankee game, and I even looked at WWE stuff just to find out. I'm just curious, and because you can get all that stuff right there on ScoreBig. It's really cool. It's very, very fast. They got an awesome website. I mean, again, saving up to 40% on tickets to events that go unsold or stuff like that. Even events that most people think are sold out. You know, there's a lot of times offered hundreds and hundreds of or even thousands, I should say, of tickets left over. So, you know, ScoreBig has all that information for you on their website. They do a great job on this thing. You basically, you go to scorebig.com. It's all in there. I mean, big events, big games, anything. You name a ticket price. I mean, it's great. Any type of percentage, you can save up to 60%. As I said, that's pretty legit. I mean, and most customers average on a 40% saving off the box office price. That's big in itself. You score big in itself. So again, really fast, good website, fun website to spend some time on. So next time you want tickets, think big and save big and score big at scorebig.com.
I left my heart in the city.
My space and screen names back then when I was only worried about my top friends. Now my
all right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I am Kaz, and got Seth dipping and dodging here. He's doing some work finally in the studio, getting some stuff done. He's also chime in here, I'm sure, at times. He deems himself a boxing MMA expert, kind of. Anyway, Bellator MMA, baby, on Spike TV this past Saturday night, big event. You know, definitely had Bellator's deal, the sports entertainment feel, pro wrestling feel. You could kind of see the that they are inspired by the industry, our industry of pro wrestling and WWE's business. So you kind of could tell that inspiration is there. You know, I think it's the guy Coker that's involved with that, obviously, who's got that. I mean, that's his brainchild. That's his deal. Also, one of the executives from Spike TV, who used to always be around TNA in production meetings and agent meetings when I was working in TNA, is also one of the guys who I believe is involved with as an executive producer with the MMA, with Bellator's show, I should say. So, you know, he's got a good bead on the wrestling business or entertainment portion TV-wise of the business. So, it's not just the boss there, Scott Coker. So I got to tell you, you could tell. Spike obviously putting a lot of efforts into this brand. I remember, again, back when I was in TNA, we'd be doing shows in at Universal Studios in Orlando. And, you know, they were doing like a video shoot, like promotional packaging, video packaging, image spots on a lot of the fighters then. And they, Spike was using Universal, and we were getting ready to do a TV taping, TNA, and they had a giant trailer, just like WWE has all those trailers with the logos on it and the pay-per-view logos on it, all these cool graphics and stuff like that. They had that, Bellator had that for, Spike paid for that for a trailer. And, you know, a lot of TNA folks are like, well, why don't we have that? Well, the obvious answer is, well, Spike TV did not own TNA. So, but it still was that the money, at that time, we thought maybe the money would have been put into TNA more, similar to what was going on with Bellator, even though that was their baby. And there was some cross-promotion going on with Bellator and TNA then also. So my point is, talking about a tractor trailer and all this cool stuff that they have with the logos and all that, it's that you could tell that the that Spike was full bore into getting this brand over. And I think they're doing a good job of it. It has a different feel in some elements than UFC. Definitely does. You know, I think their announcers, you know, they kind of, you know, the one guy's dressed in all black, the other guy's got the bald head like Joe Rogan, and he's got the shirt unbuttoned. The you know, it's you know, your announcers got to have their own identity, in my opinion. I think that's a little bit like, come on, you know, do something a little different. You know, they were in St. Louis. They had the St. Louis arch in the entranceway, which I thought was a cool little touch. That was different. You know, definitely a pro wrestling feel, or pulling from that community there, the live audience in St. Louis, which was a great crowd, by the way. They were into this thing. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the fights. So Michael Chandler, the lightweight guys, Michael Chandler, I should say, and Derek Campos. winner was Chandler. He had a beautiful power rear naked choke. And I got to say, Chandler looked great. He looked straight up legit. People loved him. Looked straight up legit. He had that power rear choke on him, that rear naked choke on Campos. It was insane. No way you're getting out. Chandler also called out Will Brooks after the fight. So obviously they're shooting an angle with that thing. But it was a good fight. I liked this. You know, it wasn't a long-winded deal, but it was good. Chandler, I thought, looked very impressive. Did you catch any of the beginnings of the show,
yeah,
Seth?
You know, I'm not super familiar with all the fighters on it, but I did watch the fights. I watched it a couple of times, actually. Once I saw your Twitter about it, I said, I got to go back and watch some of this again.
Mm.
The good thing about it was that there weren't any boring, long wrestling decisions. All these fights kind of went, they got stoppages, a lot of stoppages, a lot of submissions.
And some were a little early. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Daniel Strauss then, featherweights, this is, fought Henry Corrales, and Strauss, again, he too looked very legit. Slugfest in the first round. Definitely was a slugfest. And then Strauss, I think he won with a guillotine choke on the cage, on the side of the cage there.
That's correct.
In the second round. But again, I thought Strauss looked really, really impressive. Legitimate featherweight right there for sure. Liked that a lot. Lashley came out, man. Lashley versus Dan Charles. Now, it was supposed to be James Thompson versus Lashley. Thompson pulled out with an undisclosed injury, and in the last minute, well, not last minute, I'm exaggerating, maybe last week or two, whatever it was, Dan Charles said, hey, I'll step up, I'll get in the cage and fight Lashley. Now, Lashley wins this fight, okay, and he won it strongly, you know, via TKO over Dan Charles. Dan Charles couldn't defend himself, basically, and the ref had to stop it, which was the good thing, the right thing to do. But the amount of throws and takedowns that Lashley did to this young man, Dan Charles. And Dan Charles got a hell of a promo leading up this thing. He had me believing, all right, this guy believes in himself that he's going to beat Lashley.
You can't go in the ring if you don't believe in yourself.
No, you cannot. Good point. And I know Lashley for many years, consider him a friend. I'm very happy for him, and congrats to Bobby on this. You know, I think Bobby Lashley is pulling off being that hybrid MMA/professional wrestler better than anybody.
Do you think that's why he never went to UFC, is because he didn't want to give up the wrestling part of it? Because I know UFC guys, Dana doesn't allow his guys to wrestle.
Well, I think, and you're right, and I think that could be it about Bobby. I don't want to speak for Bobby. Maybe we'll have him on the show one day and we'll discuss it. But I can say this about Dana White with UFC. Yeah, he doesn't want to connect himself with pro wrestling, because I'm assuming he figures it hurts the credibility of the UFC brand by having the worked pro wrestling guys involved. But here's the thing, though. A guy like Lashley is not good for professional wrestling and the legitimacy of the physicality that we do and what our bodies take. But a guy like Bobby Lashley is waving the flag right now, in my opinion, on how tough, how credible, how athletic, how savvy in front of big crowds with TV cameras in a fight scenario. How you conduct yourself as a winner. Lashley's pulling that off tenfold.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Brock Lesnar do it in UFC. I mean, you know, and there are other guys that people don't even know of that are in the pro wrestling business that could go into a UFC or an MMA world and do very well.
And we're about to see another one, right?
Well, yeah. So, you know.
CM Punk.
Right. Well, you know. Well, exactly. Who now, that's the interesting one, just because of the history. Look, Lashley's history in the fight game, and as an amateur wrestler, obviously Brock Lesnar as an All-American at University of Minnesota, his roots, I'm saying his grassroots, and other cats. I mean, I just think that CM Punk, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But there is no doubt about it that Lashley on Saturday night looked extremely dominant, for sure. Very happy for Bobby. Again, congrats to him. You know, the way he looked, I'm sure James Thompson was happy that Dan Charles jumped in.
He's 13-2. I mean, he's legit.
Yeah, man, his takedowns are crisp. His stuff is just straight strong. Look, he looks like a bodybuilder out there, big, thick, muscular guy. But I can tell you from experience, Bobby is highly athletic, highly flexible. He is not human. I'm telling you. Don't think this guy's muscle bound, as the old cliche goes. He's far from it. This guy is legitimate, and I think Lashley's going to have a great career going forward with MMA, as big as he wants it to be. I mean, as long as Bellator keeps growing, I think he'll be doing great. I'll tell you what, best fight of the night, in my opinion, Seth. I don't know if you caught it, Patricio Pitbull versus Daniel Wiesel. I mean,
I watched that fight. So impressive.
Very, man.
That first round, if it was five more seconds, Pitbull loses the fight. He was out at the end of the first round. He was done.
Dude, he was done. He got saved by the bell. Yep. I mean,
the fight was over.
I know. A second round knockout, obviously victory by Pitbull with a brutal left hand, by the way, that just a knockout shot.
That was the perfect left hook. If you want to know about throwing a perfect punch, you see these guys. I was worried about that guy. I said, he's leaving himself wide open, wailing. That's what happens in mixed martial arts.
All the time.
You got to keep those hands up.
Yep.
He's wailing away like he's going to finish him. The shortest, tightest left hook. The best punches are the short punches. And he hit that left hook. It was picture perfect.
And he hit it on the button, as they say, which is right in that jawline. And that's where you knock someone out, unlike the main event, which we'll get into in a second. but I will say,
I got chills talking about it. It was just such a perfect punch.
It really was. But back to Pitbull getting saved by the bell there at the tail end of that first round. Well, he was beat. I mean, Wiesel had him beat. Done. Yeah. I mean, so he got lucky there. But, you know, that's what happens. It's like in football, right? Sometimes the calls go your way, or in any pro sport. It happens. You know, I don't, some people are saying, well, was this whole show a work? I don't think that was a work at all. No. I don't think it was. I think it was
the right call. The ref made the right call. The round was over.
I agree. I agree. But it's like, I think because, you know, Bellator has, like I was saying at the top of this, talking about this, those elements and flavors of professional wrestling, some people, MMA enthusiasts, scream work on all their stuff, you know, and they feel like a lot of the stuff is not legit.
There might be like Bellator haters, though, UFC, pro UFC people, all that.
But there's also a lot of underground hardcore MMA fans out there, you know. So
that fight was legit.
Pitbull and
what kind of conditioning must these guys be in to take that kind of punishment, be out on your feet and come back and knock a guy out?
No, it's damn impressive for sure.
You could speak on that, the conditioning.
Years ago. I mean, I trained like an MMA guy was before it was called MMA. I mean, I trained in all that style, and it's all about training. It's all about putting the time in and having the right guy to roll with. Roll with meaning the guy to train with on the mat. You know, I had the right guy. You know, and I was lucky to have a training partner like that. Like I had a couple different training partners. One was Perry Saturn. Okay, and besides that was Joe Chetty, Chris's older brother. So, you know, training with a guy like him really, you know, helped me, my conditioning and my mat sense, and able to do the things I was able to do and keep cardio up. But these guys are also doing some heavy strikes. I didn't do that and received that stuff back in my day. But, you know, I tell you, this: no matter what happens, saved by the bell or not, Pitbull is, I'm a fan of this guy. I've seen him fight before. Love this guy.
Big heart, too, man.
Yeah, wow. Big heart for sure. And the young man he knocked out, Daniel Wiesel, also legit. I mean, very impressive.
He got a little sloppy,
but he got caught. He got caught nasty.
Well, because he thought he had him done.
Short left. Yeah.
He was landing punches, but you got to protect yourself.
Then you got the main event, bro. You know, and then you got the Kimbo, Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock. You know, and it was... You know, it was great to see Road Warrior Animal come out. That was awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was great. And in St. Louis there, for those that don't know, James Laurinaitis, the son of Animal, plays for the Rams in St. Louis there. So, but it was great to see Animal. You must have marked that. I know you loved the Road Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Who didn't?
No, of course. Yeah. So he came out with Shamrock. Look, the fight, Kimbo wins via knockout. Well, TKO, I should. Not knockout. TKO. But... Shamrock had him beat with this choke. It was a very quick fight. I've watched it over and over again. First of all, the single leg that Shamrock hit to take down Kimbo Slice screamed work. Okay? He fed... I know Kimbo's not a great grappler. I understand that his background, that's not his, his ground game sucks. His takedown game sucks. He's a puncher. I know that. He's a street fighter, all that. Everybody knows the background of Kimbo Slice. But, God dog it. You've been around this thing a little while, and someone's going to grab your leg in a single leg takedown.
Sprawl.
And you don't sprawl back and throw your leg back, or at least attempt it. He put his leg forward. Shamrock hits this kind of quasi-sloppy single leg. And then just gets himself in that rear mount and just goes right in for the rear naked choke. And he had it hooked. And then there's the million-dollar question. Did Kimbo tap? Did he tap out before? Because I think he did.
Yeah.
Both hands, he did. And if you listen closely, I think the announcer caught himself. One of the announcers said he tapped. And then the other guy jumped in and they kind of... There was some fugazi business going on here.
Okay.
This referee, McCarthy, he's been doing this for years, from the UFC days. How he didn't see that, this guy tapped. The way this works, someone hooks you in a submission in any form of judo, jiu-jitsu tournaments, MMA bouts all these years, any kind of MMA. Someone, you could tap out, dude, with your pinky. You could take the mat
you tap
and go
anything,
like that.
You're out, you're
you tap
over.
One time, the match is over. That's the realm of that's what goes on in the realm of this world. That's what a tap out's not. Oh, he's tapping the guy's hand with his arm. He's tapping the guy's arm with his hand. Tap out could be that. Tap out could be a tap a guy's leg. Tap out could be you tap your own body. Any of these things.
Any tapping is tapping.
Any tap, and it could be one time. This guy, Kimbo, he put his hands down the mat and tapped. I think he tapped. Okay, so now Kimbo's getting choked out.
It was in.
Kimbo taps. The match is a work. I alluded to it in a tweet. I remember what I said.
When you did that, I went back and watched again.
It is a work. The match was a work.
You know what was missing? He missed the Hogan finger wave. Kimbo, when he's in the choke. That's what he was missing.
That would have been funny. No, but a couple things happen here, okay? In my opinion, strongly opinionated here on this. You know, Kimbo will tell you, I'm assuming he would tell you, it was not a work. I won for real. Because in Kimbo's mind, he did win for real. Because I don't think Kimbo was in on the work. And that's been the thing with boxing for years, just with boxing. You know, everybody said, oh, I always would say to people would say, oh, boxing's real. What you guys do is fake. Well, I said, no. I would always say for many years, no, what we do is entertainment and it's worked, but boxing's just better at keeping a secret than we are.
It's not even a secret. People, if you really follow, know.
Yeah, right? I mean, so, and a lot of times with boxing, the guy who wins doesn't know he's supposed to win.
Right.
It's all you need is the ref and the guy who's going to lose.
Okay? Any one-on-one sport is the easiest thing to fix, right?
Sure, of
Tennis,
course.
High lie was big for that in Florida.
That's a high lie. I can see you being a big high lie guy.
I'm not a high lie guy. I just lived in Florida for a little while.
I could see you on the wall with the shorts and the high lie gimmick ball bag. I could see that. You're throwing your yam bag all over the place.
I could see
that. You run around like a silly bastard.
With a stick.
You're a little silly. So, Johnny Brennan, you're a little silly bastard. So now, he has this choke. Shamrock's got this nasty rear naked on him. He's choking a dude out. And you're in the worst position you can when you kind of roll the guy, when you're Kimbo, and you're getting choked out. And you either roll your opponent who's choking you out to his back, or he rolls you to your back as your belly's touching his back. So it's confusing because it's not visual, it's audio here. So what I mean is, I have a choke on you, Seth. I have a rear naked choke on you. I'm in a mount position choking you out.
I'm going to sue.
Let's sue everybody. Let's say I roll. I'm the guy on the offense choking you out. I roll to my back. I roll to my side and back, I should say, to get that choke in, to get the grapes and the hooks, the legs they call it, right? Hooks. Get grapevine. To get my legs in tighter, I could hook them tighter when I'm on my side or back a little, because my core of my body can extend more when I'm like that, right? That's human the kinesiology of the body, basically, right? I get the choke in on you, I roll on my side. I have you now dead to rights. Kimbo was dead to rights. Shamrock rolls to his side, and what happens? Kimbo pries himself out of this choke like Superman. It's like you don't see that.
He's superhuman.
Not from a guy like Shamrock, one of the most credible fighters ever, a former UFC champion, whatever the hell he was.
Legend.
Legend, Hall of Fame guy for sure, always as a fan of Ken Shamrock, for sure, and I still am a fan of Ken Shamrock. You're not just prying out of this guy's rear naked.
And he was in good shape.
No, you're right. Correct, he was. You're not just prying out of this guy's rear naked truck. I'm sorry.
You never see it happen, right?
No, it's very, very rare. Lower level you do. Yeah. Not from a world-class grappler like Ken Shamrock. You're not prying out. But lo and behold, Kimbo, the non-grappling Kimbo, pried out. He pried out and he got up. Ken was not really even hit. He threw a couple little sloppy punches at Kimbo. Never really hit nothing on Ken. Ken put his hands up. Then Ken fed his face. He hits a haymaker to Ken's eye socket. And it's a TKO. And the ref, John McCartney, goes over. And he doesn't say, do you want me to stop the fight? To a legend. He just stops the fight.
Right. Well, he's 50 years old, too.
I don't care how old he is. He's in the fight.
True.
You don't just stop... McCarthy's got. He's gonna. He knows how to ref this thing. He's been doing this for years.
You're ruining this for me now because I was gonna name my next son Kimbo. Now you're ruining it.
You should name him Kimbo because it's a great name. I gotta say. So you don't think it was a work?
I went back and watched it after I read your Twitter. And I was like, oh, I can see what you're saying. Yeah, I just don't think of UFC fights as being a work.
What did you say earlier when you tried to come off like you were John Rooney or Dan Rooney? What's the boxer? Kevin Rooney. Like you came off like you were Kevin Rooney. Kevin Rooney?
Mike Tyson's trainer?
Yeah, that's who you are.
Yeah.
So you came off like Kevin...
Mike. Come on, Mike.
The KFJ.
Yeah.
You came off like the jobber you are, and you tried to act like a boxing expert. And what did you say? You made some good points. You said you keep your hands where when a guy's throwing punch?
Up.
Up, right?
Of course.
So, let me ask you a question. You're telling me Ken Shamrock has this rear naked choke on. He's not gassed because the guy's in amazing shape, and he's a veteran, so his brain is not going to cause him to get tired out there, and that's the truth, okay? He was so tired in the first round. This is the first round we're talking, guys. This was a quick fight that Ken didn't have the wherewithal, the intelligence, the experience to keep his hands up. He left himself wide open, fed his face to this guy, and the guy punched him in the eye socket, and Ken couldn't finish? Come on. Come on.
What's the point of the work, though, I guess?
To build a rematch or build credibility on Kimbo to get him
choked
over.
Choked out, so but
yeah, maybe
fight.
A,
you tap.
Yeah, or they bring somebody else in to fight Kimbo. Now Kimbo's made. I mean, what's the point of any work?
True.
You know, it's because if the thing is going to go straight legit, maybe Ken signed, maybe he's one fight deal, and I don't know.
Are you maybe making excuses for Ken Shamrock because he was trained by Buzz Sawyer? Is that maybe... Is that why you're doing this? Like, you can't accept the fact that Buzz Sawyer trained a guy that got knocked out? Is that what it is?
That's not it. I am a fan, I said, of Ken Shamrock. I like Ken a lot. I've met Ken a couple times. I actually met him in San Diego, his hometown there. And
I heard an interview with him, and that's why I knew. I heard him talk about Buzz Sawyer and how Buzz Sawyer ripped him off, and he drove across country to confront him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard him on JR, actually.
He drove. Oh, Shamrock?
Yeah.
He
went.
Funny.
He went after. He went over to
to Buzz Sawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, it's real interesting. It's funny.
That's pretty good.
And I think most people, and I didn't know that he actually broke into pro wrestling before the MMA.
Oh, he did. He was Vince Torelli. Yeah. He wrestled under a name called Vince Torelli, and he worked in the Carolinas for a small company. Oh, man, I can't remember the name of it. It was out of the Carolinas. Remember Firebreaker Chip? Yeah, he worked in WCW. Big jacked up guy. He was a fireman gimmick. He worked down there with him. He worked in WCW. He was like a mid-card guy, Firebreaker Chip. If you watched WCW when Sting had his heyday.
Who was the guy that trained everybody? The Sarge? That guy. Was.
That was during that era. Yeah. Right. Sarge. What was his name? Short guy.
He's the one who ran the power plant, right?
He did. Yeah. I just can't remember his full name. But anyway, Vince Torelli was Ken Shamrock, and he wrestled many years ago. Right before I know I got my big break, I was already trained, but I was still coming up, and I just can't remember the name of the company. The tweets are coming in as I say this, obviously. But, it was actually pretty cool. So that was the deal, man. I think the fight was a total work, and I thought it was an entertaining night. I enjoyed it. Look, you're not paying nothing. It's on free. It's Spike TV. So I'm not bitching about it. I'm just saying you got to do a better job of hiding that work. I don't care what anybody says to me. That was a work.
It's free, just like this podcast.
Yes, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was a good job. Did you enjoy it as a whole, Seth?
Yeah, it was cool.
Good.
That knockout made my night, though. That left hook made my night.
Oh, Pitbull.
Yeah.
Pitbull. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, look, that's it. I'm done. I'm done talking about this. I'm done. I'm moving on to the next show. So we got some more stuff possibly coming this week here. on HPM. Okay, just so you guys know that. I hope you guys enjoyed this breakdown. I want to thank Seth for chiming in, jumping in. And the audio levels sound good, I guess, right?
I don't know. Like I said, Schnabitz Furnum at Tweetbox audio file will let us know.
And last thing I want to say on a side note, congratulations to Jay Lethal for becoming the Ring of Honor World Champion. Now he has the U.S. title and the Ring of Honor title.
TV title.
I'm sorry, TV title. My bad. I was confused. TV titles.
So many titles.
U.S. titles, Intercontinental titles.
This hasn't happened since Ultimate Warrior had the Intercontinental and the World title.
Don't ever correct me again. But yes, congratulations on his TV title. His Ring of Honor World title and also having a TV title. So he's got both titles. World Heavyweight Champion of Ring of Honor is Jay Lethal. Jay's been on the show. Good dude. Happy for him. Deserved it. Earned it. Happy for him.
Representing New Jersey. What?
That's right. What? Jersey what? Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. I don't really care about Jersey. All right, look, that's it. I'm done. I'm Taz. You're not. Thank you and goodbye.